In order for a person to feel love from Hashem, he has to make room for Hashem to come in.
Excuse me. She has a question.
Ah, so wait, let me just finish with her. If a person doesn't feel the love from Hashem, can probably most likely result from one thing, that the person doesn't create enough space for Hashem to come in. If you want me to come into your house, but you don't open the door, I'm not going to be able to come in.
How would you teach someone how to open the door?
How to?
Open the door.
How to open the door is to accept God. How Hashem wants to be accepted.
How would you explain that to someone?
Depends what the person is going through. Some people feel that because they feel their life is not going how they want it to go. Some people feel that because maybe they actually did a lot of sins and it created the barrier. Each person has a different way what will stop them from feeling that. But most people will have some type of a distance of not feeling the love of Hashem because they created that problem. And a lot of people don't make space enough for Hashem. Hashem is huge. So if you want Hashem into your life, you have to create space for Him. Same way how I said before, if Hashem tells you, "Vasitim li mikdash v'shachandi betocha," make for me a dwelling place, and I will make for me a sanctuary, and I'll dwell in you. Then, if you want Hashem to come in, you have to make everything the mishkan, and you can have conditions. The problem with a lot of people is they make conditions. I'll do A, B, and C. Now I want to see what's going to happen. Can't make conditions with Hashem. Hashem says, "Here's the manual. You do what I tell you, and then I'll come."
But in your case, before that, was there ever a time that you felt?
No, I was.
And then all of a sudden, you did. That's a good answer.
You mean? Oh, wait. You said all of a sudden I did the second that my eyes opened up in this world.
No. I understand it took time that you had.
The thing is, with me is a very different. With me is a very different thing, because if a person now will touch a boiling hot stove and he's going to get burnt, he'll never forget the pain that he experienced, and I promise you, he'll never get close to a stove. So I felt something; it touched my soul so strong that my life instantly changed the second my eyes open up. A totally different person. And nothing can change that feeling.
But do you feel like you could explain that to anybody or no?
No.
Not really.
What I say is maybe 1% of the experience, and this is after mastering years of putting it into a way that I can somehow explain what I felt. And it's still nothing. You can't really explain it. How can you? Can you explain to me, if you had a dream last night, can you tell me the dream? You can tell me, oh yeah, I went here and I did this and did that, but you can't really take me to Wonderland. I can't take you with my words to where I went. So I can...
Let's say somebody was looking, they were honestly looking, they really wanted to know, would you be able to explain to them?
Sometimes. If that person is willing to accept, then yeah. In order for me to give, somebody needs to accept. I cannot give, if somebody is not on the receiving end, doesn't matter what I'm going to say, it's not going to work. And that's the problem with most people with accepting Hashem, because they're not willing to really be on the receiving end. They're still holding some type of a yeshut, of ego. No. If you totally let go, then Hashem can come in, and then you'll feel everything, and you'll accept everything. But the problem with most people, that they built this wall, for whatever reason, can be from their own sins, can be from anything. But the problem when a person has his own ego, that's what's going to stop him from coming closer to Hashem. Chassidut calls it metziut. If I'm a metziut, if I'm in existence, meaning that there's another existence, and there's only one existence, Hashem Echad. If I want Hashem Echad, then I'm not a metziut. I have to be totally afar va'efer. That's how Avraham Avinu was able to reach such a level, because he says, I'm not a metziut, I'm nothing. All our forefathers, they were called the Merkava of Atzilut, because they're, I'm nothing, I'm nobody.
That's just awareness, that's not love.
That's a total different thing. In order to feel Hashem's love, you're only going to feel Hashem's love if you make space for Him. If you don't make space for Hashem, and it can, each person is totally different. One person will not make space to Hashem by not doing his commandments. One person will not make space to Hashem by holding some type of anger to Hashem for whatever reason. So one person will not make space for Hashem because it's not comfortable for him. Because if I make space for Hashem, it means that I have to give up my comfortability or my comfort zone. Each person is holding a different problem. But in order to feel Hashem's love, it's only if you make space for Him. If you don't make space for Hashem 100%, then no, you can't complain that you're lacking something. Not you, I'm saying in general. A person cannot come in any complaints to Hashem when he comes with terms. That doesn't work with Hashem. You can't come with terms to Hashem. You have to accept. The Jews said, "Naaseh v'nishma." Tell us what to do. We'll do it later on. You can explain to me. Right now, I'm totally bowing to you. To you, to Hashem, of course. So each person, there's not a general answer. And every person who wants to listen, I go to thousands of lectures. The ones who want to listen, they accept what I have to say. The ones who come with an anti, they're not going to get anything. They waste 2-3 hours of their time. The thing is that any person, if you knock many times, you'll penetrate at some point. But if a person really wants to accept, if I'm going to go now to a doctor, and the doctor's going to tell me, this is your situation, this is what you have to do. If I'm going to tell him, no, I don't accept, I'll go home. Who's going to lose here? Me. Because I don't accept what the professional doctor is telling me what to do. But if I accept what the doctor tells me, I have to create some type of emotion of, okay, I'm opening, so I can accept what you have to say. So technically, every person if I would talk to, I can maybe in some type of a way explain what I felt, but the person has to accept it. I can come now with $1 million, give it to you. If you're not going to accept, my $1 million is worthless. I'm sure many people will accept it, but the thing is that there's almost no way to explain what I experienced. That's why I always say in my lectures, it happened to me. So I can become religious, so I can become an example, and that's it. I cannot explain the pain, the fear, the anger, the love, anything. I can draw it, oh, it felt like this, it felt like that. But it mainly happened to me that I will become religious, that I will change my way, that I will go in my way and see how I can affect other people. And sometimes just by you holding yourself a certain way, that's all you need to do. Sometimes you don't have to do an action, you just have to be you. You know, when I have, Baruch Hashem, so far 3 boys. My second boy, second son, he was the third in line. So there's a minhag that the Friday before the Brit, we do a Shalom Zachar, and you do a big meal, and there's many explanations why, but so we did a Shalom Zachar, and a big meal, and a lot of people from the community came, and one rabbi, very respected rabbi from the community came, and you know, everybody was giving brachot, your son should be a Talmid Chacham, you should have a lot of nachat from your son, this, that. So this rabbi said, you know, everybody gave you such beautiful brachot tonight, I'm going to give you an advice, not a bracha. Whatever you want your son to be, you be. That's it. You want your son to be a lamdan, you be a lamdan. You want your son to be with midot tovot, you have midot tovot. You want your son to behave a certain way, you behave that. He would look at you and he will mimic you. Because you are a billboard. So sometimes, it's not like what I told you. You don't have to do much. You just have to be
model.
Exactly. In Hebrew it's called shelet chutzot, a billboard. So sometimes that's all you need to do. An example. You behave that way, then whoever the eyes are that are looking at you, that's why I said before with the mother that sometimes the way she talks, her children look at her, her daughters look at the mother. How do you expect a little girl to become a modest girl if the mother is not modest? If she's looking at the mother, and the mother is dressed modest, speaks modest, doesn't talk to strangers, doesn't talk with all the men. So the girl sees that and was like, okay, oh, that's the model. That's why Hashem made it that kids, they only get da'at at the age of bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah. They only start understanding real things when they hit that level. 13 years for a boy and 12 years for a girl, they don't have that. They just look and they register. These are the years you make your impression. You know, a tree, when it's young, if you push the tree a little bit, the tree will grow crooked. Once the tree grew, you can't put it back. If the tree is crooked when it's young, you know, make it straight, you put like a stick, the tree will go straight. Same thing with a kid. Kid is young, you can bend the kid wherever you want to bend it. But once the kid grew, that's it. 12, 13 years, you stop the chinuch. That's it. No point of screaming at the kid anymore. That's it. You did what you could.
Yeah.
That's it. 13, 14 depends on the kid. 14, 15, that's it. You did your part. Now you're just interacting. So, excuse me? Exactly. But the thing is that it's not only with kids, it's anything. So sometimes it's only how you behave. And if you have the awareness, that's exactly what I said before. If you have the awareness that I have eyes looking at me, then you behave that way. Sometimes I feel like saying something, but I know many ears are listening. If I'm going to say it, it's going to be interpreted the wrong way. I'm not going to react right now, because it's going to be interpreted in the wrong way. Sometimes I want to do something, or I want to behave in a certain way, and I... Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. First you think, then you do. What's going to be the reaction when I'm going to say now this? What's going to be the reaction or the result when I do this? So if I'm constantly with this awareness, then I know how to interact in a way that my actions and speech and behavior doesn't ripple in a negative way, rather ripples in a positive way. So how you interact, it's again going back to how I said before with the tzniut. A woman is not just putting a long dress on and a long dress. It's much more than that. Because a woman is what's called pnimiyut, more inner. She has anything in the level of pnimiyut has much more power to affect. Chitzoniyut is not so powerful. Kabbalah teaches how there's two types of ways how Hashem lights into this world. I said it before, O Pnimi and O Makif. O Makif means that it surrounds everything, and everybody and everything gets the exact same amount of godly revelation. No chilukim, no differences. O Pnimi is each one according to his level. So the same way one can interact in this world. In a way of a Makif, everybody is the same, and one in a Pnimiut, everybody according to his level. So this can be in relationship, it can be with your kids, can mean anything. But we sort of totally sidetracked. To sum up your answer, depends on the person. And to really feel the love of Hashem is only if you make room for Hashem. And if one is lacking and doesn't feel love from Hashem, he has to look in himself and says, what am I doing wrong that Hashem doesn't want to really dwell 100% in me? Maybe my thoughts are not pure. Maybe my talks are not pure. Maybe I have some sins that I don't think. That's why we say Kiryat Shema L'Amita every night. So I can do tshuva, and every day says, how was my day? Did I really conduct my day according to how God wanted me? If you do every day tshuva, kol chayecha yu b'tshuva, the Arizal says that if a person does tshuva every day, Yom Kippur, he has nothing to do. He just needs to fast because he already did tshuva every day. And if one waits for Yom Kippur to do tshuva, how are you going to do tshuva? How can you remember on Yom Kippur what you did 11 months before? I don't even remember what I ate for breakfast. I'm going to remember what I did 11 months before, who I need to have to say sorry for. How can I do tshuva once a year? That's what Chachamim gave us to do, tshuva every night. Every night, I say Kriyat Shema L'Amita. It's not just reading the text. It's sitting and saying, how was my day? I do cheshbon. Was I nice today? Do I owe anybody money? Did I curse somebody that I have to apologize? Maybe I wasn't so nice, tomorrow I'll go and apologize. Maybe I did this, maybe I took something wrongfully. Maybe I borrowed something and forgot to give it back. You do cheshbon nefesh at the end of the night. And if you live like that, kol yamecha hayu b'tshuva. Then you don't have a problem in Yom Kippur because you don't miss anything. You've hurt somebody, right away you can apologize. You know, one time my wife came and told me you know, I didn't have cash to pay the cleaning lady, so I took from the neighbor $40. We owe her $40. So I told her, go right now and pay the $40 back. No, no, it's okay. I'll pay tomorrow. I told her, go pay right now, because tomorrow you'll forget. And then what's going to happen? You're going to forget. You're going to forget. You're going to continue forgetting. And what if she's holding it against you? Oh, she owes me $40. Look at her. She never paid back to me. Now you have a person that's upset at you. And you don't know why every time you saw her in the hallway, she's like, because you forgot to pay. And in your mind, it's $40. What's $40? It's friends. But you don't know what the other side is thinking. So I told her, you pay that money right away. As my if we're friends. So what if we're friends and we're neighbors and it's only $40? Mazen, what's $40? It's nothing. It's not the point. The point is she could have been holding this grudge for months because you forgot to pay her the money that she laid out. Why carry this with you? So every night you do cheshbon. Ooh, I forgot to pay this. Ooh, I forgot to do that. And if you do that, then you're safe, you're good to go.
Yeah, same. What you mean when you say the Shema Yisrael, there is a part that there is a Asham, no Hatan.
Yeah.
They don't know that.
The thing is, we did a shiur not too long about Shema Yisrael that covers everything. There's main three reasons why we say Kriyat Shema Lamita. One of them is to protect your body when you go up to Shamaim. Because when you go to sleep at night, then the Shema leaves the body. So you need to protect the body from all these angels and mezikim that come to attack the body. One thing is to do tshuva, and one thing is to atone for sins. But yeah, the Kriyat Shema Lamita is a serious, serious prayer. I always tell people, if you have to miss a prayer, don't miss Kriyat Shema Lamita. Because the power of Kriyat Shema Lamita is so powerful that even women are chayav in Kriyat Shema Lamita. They're not patur from Kriyat Shema Lamita. And then And the thing is that, there's the part of vidui. This is the part where you atone for your sins. You get kapara for your sins in the vidui. It depends on the nosach. Each nosach is a little bit different. But one part is literally protecting the body from, you know, the soul leaves the body. At night, the body stays thrown on the bed. You need to put soldiers. That's why in all the nosachim it says, Hine mitato shel Shlomo, shishim giborim savivla. Megiborei Israel, kula machuzei cherev. Why? There's a famous story in the Gemara how Shlomo, the demon Ashmedai came. There's a whole story. He kicked him 400 parsaot. You know what it is? 1,600 miles. They say he kicked him from Eretz Israel to China. And then he got dressed in his body, and for months, Shlomo HaMelech was walking in Yerushalayim. Ani ben David, Ani ben David, I'm the son of David. And he looked like a bum, like a homeless person. And this devil, this demon, Ashmedai, was in the body of Shlomo, ruling the land. And you know how they figured it out? Shlomo had a lot of women. He used to go to the wrong women at the wrong night. And the advisors, the king advisors, like, wait a minute, he was with this woman that night. She's having her period. They figured out, wait a minute, something's going wrong here. And then they're like, maybe that nutcase, that homeless person that's walking around the street that's saying, Ani ben David. And then that's how they figured it out. And the way they did it, they put the name Yudke Vavke on the name of on the demon. They had a whole way how to get him, get to give up the body.
So when you multiply it, 60, it's 180, like they expand the ladies, 180 soldier comes.
Exactly. The reason why we say it three times, I'll tell you why we say it three times. We say also there's Birkat Kohanim in it, Yivarechecha Hashem Vishmecha. Everything that we say three times goes one keneged HaNefesh, one keneged HaRuach, one keneged HaNeshama. So everything that we say three times in Kriyat Shema Lamita is for all three levels of the soul. Because what happens is all the levels leave the body at night. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. So you have to say it on each Erobed. But Kriyat Shema Lamita is very, very powerful, mainly because a person has 5 minutes to himself to do tshuva.
But Rabbi, I don't understand why for Rosh Chodesh, it says Motzei Rosh Chodesh not to say the Vidui on Kriyat Shema. But Rosh Chodesh is like a
Moed. Moed Katan, that's why you don't say Vidui. Every day you don't say.
On my Kriyat Shema, it says.
If you say Til Chatzot.
Motzei Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, that's if you say Til Chatzot. Same thing with Motzei Shabbat. On Motzei Shabbat, if you go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night, Saturday night, you don't say Vidui, you don't say Tachanun. If you go to sleep after Chatzot, meaning 2 in the morning, you already have to say Vidui. So So Motzei Rosh Chodesh, most people don't go to sleep at 3 in the morning. So Motzei Rosh Chodesh, it's like Motzei Shabbat. You don't say Vidu, you don't say Tachanun, all that. But if you go to sleep after Chatzot, which is usually around 1 a.m., then you already have to say Vidui. But yeah, Rosh Chodesh is like a Moed Katan. It's like a little Yom Kippur. I not too long ago just posted online a shiur that I did about Rosh Chodesh and the power of Rosh Chodesh. Remember the shiur we did in Or HaTorah?
So I don't remember, but I guess.
The shiur is 35 minutes. Amazing information about the power. The whole topic of the shiur was women, Tehillim, Rosh Chodesh, and what's the connection altogether. Why women say Tehillim on Rosh Chodesh. And very powerful shiur. Half an hour of very detailed information. How powerful Rosh Chodesh is. But dafka for women. Not only for women, it's like mamash. Okay. Yeah, it's a moed for women. You know why? One of the reasons was because the women did not want to participate in Chet HaEgel. So, bezchut of the three avot, we got the three moedim. Bezchut Avraham Avinu, in his merit, we got the holiday of Pesach. Because we know that Avraham Avinu, first of all, he did the first pirsum of Elokut Ba'olam. But we know in the story that the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, it was Pesach, he told Sarah, go make matzahs. So Bizchut Avraham Avinu, we got the merit to get the festival of Pesach. With Bizchut Yitzchak, we got the holiday of Shavuot, because on Shavuot there's the Tkiyah Shel HaShofar, because it was Matan Torah, Kolot Shel HaShofarim, and Yitzchak with the whole story with the Akedah, that instead of him being slaughtered, then they took the ram, and they took the Shofar. So that's Shavuot. Matan Torah. B'matan Torah, v'shamu et ha'shofarot. No, they don't blow the shofar on Shavuot, but on Matan Torah they were blowing the shofar. So the zchut of Yitzchak we got Shavuot, and Yaakov did Sukkot to all his cattle. So bezchut Yaakov we got the festival of Sukkot. But then came, you know, the women, and they did not participate in the Chet HaEgel. And that's why Hashem gave them not one festival, 12 festivals, 12 Rashi Chodeshim. And if it's a leap year, then 13. So a woman, that's again going back to the topic of our shiur, a woman, look as a darga, what a level a woman can get. A woman on Rosh Chodesh is not allowed to work, she's not allowed to do a lot of things. It's a moed for her, a moed katan, it's like a Yom Tov, it's like a little Pesach. Only because of the merit, because the women did not want to participate in the Chet HaEgel. They did not give their jewelry. They were like, we're not participating in it. You want to do it, you do it. So in that merit, they got Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a very auspicious time to do tshuva. Bechlal, we have the main day for tshuva is Yom Kippur, then every Rosh Chodesh, then every Erev Shabbat, right before lighting of the candles. Bechlal, it's very, very auspicious time for a woman to pray mincha and light the candles and to do tshuva for the entire week, and of course every night. So if a person lives their life according to that, then kol chayecha yu b'tshuva, and a person knows that when it comes the time of Yom Kippur, I did most of the stuff. I don't have to do, and if I have to do something, then at least I know what to do it. I don't remember what I did 7 months ago. Maybe I insulted somebody, maybe I owe somebody $2 in the shop down the street. I told him I'll pay you tomorrow and I forgot. Who can remember? How can you remember what you did 11 months ago? So a person has to do tshuva every day.
She has been in the matzah and the...
Of course. Of course. Wait, she wanted to ask something.
If you would like to dedicate a class in honor of someone, please contact us via our website at www.atzmut.org. Please subscribe to this channel to be notified about new videos.
רק רציתי להגיד לך, ילדה שלי, אני רואה את דמעותיי. את ליבך מבקש